Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much that we're gathered here, Lord, that we have the freedom to study your word, that we have each other to learn from. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would go forth in a mighty way, Lord, and that we would be transformed and changed by the studying of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start off with a little game. So I'm going to show you a slide, and then you're going to call out what movie it's from. There. Okay, Cinderella. Okay, we got that one. Oh, there. Okay. Grease. Grease. Very good. Very good. Very good. Last one. Very good. Very good. Okay, so these are all fictional and well-known makeovers. But the best makeover is a spiritual makeover. And I love the verse, 1 Samuel 16:7, when the prophet Samuel is choosing a king for Israel. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And today's passage is from Colossians 1, 9 through 14, and it's Paul's prayer for the Christians in Colossae. And if everyone has the handout, I'm just going to read it. It's printed on the bottom there. Wait, hold on. "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." So what I'd like to do today is to really unpack this verse, because I think the first time you read it, it just seems like so much. So we're going to try to slow it down. And you're going to take your handout that looks like this. And if everyone could get something to write on, and what I want you to be able to take home here today is somewhat of like a vision board, okay? So this is your vision board, and this will help you to pray for yourself and to pray for your friends and to pray for all Christians. So the first thing that I want you to do on your handout is to write the word beloved over this pencil lady, because that's the most important thing, to always remember that we're beloved. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make a list right from the verses of the things on the left-hand side. You're going to make a list of the thing that Paul is praying for these believers. And in order to make that come to life for us, we're going to contrast it with what's the opposite of that. So on the right-hand side of this lady, you're going to write down what the opposite is. And we're going to slow down, go through it together. And, you know, there's really no, like, big right or wrong way to do it. So just write down the things that you're learning that you see that you want to develop in your life and that, you know, Paul is praying for. So I hesitate to do this, but I'm doing it. I'm going to show you my version. Okay, so you will not understand my handwriting. You do not try to, like, copy that down or anything like that, okay? It's just kind of because we couldn't really use, like, a whiteboard, so I couldn't really write them one at a time. But let's go through together and do it. And I think that you'll find it really powerful. So let's break this down, and I'll kind of get us started, but we're going to, you know, start in verse 9 there. "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking," and that's what we're going to write down, what is he asking for? "That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So on the left-hand side, we're going to write down, right from the text, filled with knowledge of his will. You can write, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So what's the opposite of that? The opposite would be to have no knowledge of his will, to lack, to have little spiritual I can't even remember handwriting. Understanding. Okay? So let's take it down with the next one. So, as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So you're just going to write, walking in manner worthy of the Lord. So what's the opposite of walking in the manner worthy of the Lord? Not walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. The next one, fully pleasing to him. So what's the opposite of fully pleasing to him? Yeah, displeasing to him or not pleasing to him. Okay, bearing fruit in every good work. Yeah, what's the opposite? Bearing no fruit. Okay, increasing in the knowledge of God. What's the opposite of that?
Slow down a teeny bit. I'm still right now.
Oh, sure. Sorry. Sorry. Sure, yeah. And now we're on verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his might. So if you're strengthened with power from the Lord, what's the opposite of that? Yeah, I would say either weakness or functioning in your own power. For all endurance. What's the opposite of a person who has endurance? Yeah, weak or giving up easily? A person doesn't have endurance? And then how about patience? What's the opposite of patience? I think I heard it. Impatience. And with joy. So what's the opposite of joy? Yeah, despair or joyless or anger. Okay. Yep. Giving thanks to the Father. So we can put that down as grateful. And the opposite of that is not grateful to God.
Ungrateful.
And then I'm going to jump back up to verse 9 because I just wanted to add something to this list that we learn about what's desired for a believer. So it starts, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So I think vibrant prayer life and asking is a quality that we want to develop as a believer. So I put that on the left, and then little prayers for other on the right. I'll give everyone a sec to catch up. Is everybody okay? And now, taking the remaining, verse and a half, I think that we can draw out some qualities or some, identities that we can have that we can put inside of her head. So, okay. So, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So, are there any things people want to shout out from that? Yeah, chosen. That's awesome. You know what I'm saying? Qualified, child of God. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Any word jumping out from that? Delivered. Yeah, we're delivered. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So I just put, we're with Jesus forever. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redeemed. And one more big one. Forgiven. Yeah. So basically this before or after, this transformation, this makeover, we have on the left, no knowledge of his will, little spiritual understanding or discernment. not walking in a manner worthy of God, not pleasing to the Lord, not bearing fruit, not increasing in the knowledge of God, functioning in your own strength, giving up easily, impatient, joyless, ungrateful, and little prayer for others. And then on the other side, on our transformed life, on what Paul is praying for us and for all believers, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with his power, endurance, patient, joyful, grateful, a vibrant prayer life. And, you know, this person is qualified, a child of God. They live in the community of believers of light. They're delivered with Jesus forever, redeemed and forgiven. Now, ladies, that's a makeover, right? So I think that's a better than a Disney or a Hollywood ending. So what if we, you know, I thought a better story would be, what if Cinderella was just walking with the Lord and studying his word and just becoming more this person, and then her life is pouring over and the three stepsisters come to know the Lord, and together, you know, they're living this life, and their life isn't perfect and there's ups and downs, but they're living it together, and ultimately they're going to, you know, reign forever. We're going to reign forever with Jesus in heaven. And I think that's a happy ending, and that's a great thing. And basically, the way I wanted to look at this is I just read this book about Angela Merkel called The Chancellor, and she was the Chancellor of Germany from 2005 to 2021. And I hadn't known this, but she was a physicist before she went into politics, and she lived in East Germany behind the Iron Curtain as like a young woman. And then when the wall fell down, her life changed and she entered into politics, and literally in her case, the rest is history. But one thing, probably because of her background as a scientist, she always looked at the end result, the desired outcome, and then kind of worked backwards and said, like, how do we get there? So that's what I think is a great strategy and what we should do today, and say, if, you know, the end result and our desired outcome are all those qualities on the left, how do we get there? And the way that we get there is, first and foremost, it's God's power. It's prayer. It's studying the word of God. And it's living a life in community with Christians and other believers. And the most important thing is recognizing that only God has the power and the plan to transform us. He's made us, and he holds the universe together. And Paul's writing this to the believers in Colossae. So that's just the number one foundational thing, is this is for believers. And turning, surrendering, and following him. You know, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. And the more that we know him and experience him, it's a wonderful, beautiful life. It's the most important thing that you could ever do. So, and he desires that for everyone. So, and we just have to ask him and talk to him. So I would certainly say, if there's anyone here who's unsure if they are following him, if they are surrendered to him, don't leave here today without talking to me or to somebody else, because you can have assurance of your salvation and you can know. So that's just the most important thing. These verses themselves point to God's transformational power and importance in all of this. In verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's the one that qualifies us. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And although this prayer was prayed for these newer believers at Colossae, this is not just a prayer for new believers. If you're already a follower of Christ, you need God's transformational power, and you will your entire life. Linda talked about it today, the slow work of God. You know, sanctification is a lifelong journey. And how do I know that this prayer is important for all of us, and that we don't just instantly transform into this? Because that's my story, right? And that's the story of all believers. I see this list, and I know that I'm not all or always all of these things, but we're journeying into becoming more. And I want to say that I see these things in you and in my friends, and I see the great work that God's doing in your lives. So this is a great thing to strive for, and it will happen, and it is happening, although it's not instant. We face many difficulties and battles in life, right? And it's God's plan to use our sufferings as part of this process of change, of transformation and sanctification. And the list of how we might suffer in this world is long and varied, right? We know that from our life experience. There's sickness. We ourselves can be battling sicknesses, or maybe even harder when the ones that we love are battling sicknesses. There's loss of relationship through death, divorce, conflict. The world around us is broken. There's war, persecution, inhumane treatment of people. But we can suffer less dramatically. We have unmet longings and disappointments. And recently, can we go back? Oh, maybe not. I went so fast. Let's see. Joyce? We got to get back to the suffering. There we go. It's all not all that clear. So recently I just experienced a real season of what I'll just call restlessness. And it just hit me almost out of nowhere. And I wasn't even really sure why. You know, I just was like, just seemed so unhappy and just restless. And I just wanted to almost like explode my life, you know. And this scene from Homer's book, The Odyssey, it felt like me. The crew on the ship has to tie the captain to the mast while the ship passed the siren so that he wouldn't wind up crashing the boat on the rocks. And I wanted to say, in this season that I had, you know, and I think it started like before Thanksgiving this year, the Lord showed up for me so sweetly and in so, so many different ways. And through so many people. And I could literally tell you 20 to 50 ways that he did that, but I'm just gonna share two small ones. And you know what? It was only in trying to reflect on this that I even really thought of them. So I would also encourage you to please slow down and list them. Take time to see how the Lord is like showing up for you. So one huge thing that happened, and I'm gonna try not to cry, but during this season, I was blessed to be able to go on a trip with just my 22-year-old daughter, Isabel. And we had such a sweet time, but because I was experiencing this, you know, I was able to really share and talk to her about it. And she gave me such sound advice and such adult wisdom that I was really able to hear. And it was such a sweetness because my mom passed away 4 years ago, and I had really missed that adult mother-daughter relationship. And so here was like the springing up of new and different, but so sweet. And it was all the Lord. And I'm grateful that he did that for me and that he gave me eyes to see it. Another thing that happened was I took part in a small Christian women's gathering, and the leader shared about how, you know, we talk about how people either have like the fight or the flight response. And I had known like about me in this season that I'm ashamed to say, because I think it might be better to have the fight one, but I'm definitely like the flight one, you know, so I'm just like, woo. And anyway, so she gave a devotional on how with Moses leading the Israelites away from Egypt, how God showed up in a third way. You know, there was like, no, it seemed like it was impossible to fight them or to flee them, and he opened up the Red Sea. The verse is, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be quiet. And I just received that as a real word for me, and it gave me a lot of comfort. And that's just one of many. I mean, so many days in my devotions or in things that my friends would say or whatnot, I was encouraged, and I felt like the Lord was speaking and ministering directly to me. And in this season, God was with me. He was not condemning me. I didn't sense him like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, or just loving me and gently leading me and making provisions for me. And I think that he did change some things in my circumstance that were really miraculous and amazing, but I don't even want to testify to those things, because I think the sweetest things were just the way that he's with us through everything. And it's that, like, you know, we need him, we need his transformational power, but it's in those times of experience seeing his presence and his sweetness, that we just grow more in love with him. And I think that is what really helps to transform us. So studying God's word, that helps us to see his beauty, and it gives us knowledge of what he desires for us. And getting back to your thing, there's a key word and key verses here, and I'd ask you to circle in verse 10 the word so. And then we're going to like slow down and kind of take a look at this again. Okay, and I'm sorry to keep like going over this verse so many times, but I know for me it just seemed like it wasn't coming alive until I just really lived with it and read it so many times and really tried to dissect it, you know? So it starts out, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. So I would kind of propose that on your sheet, you know, the top two, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is key right here. And then if we're having that, we're filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, we're going to exhibit these other things. We're going to walk in a manner worthy of him. We're going to be fully pleasing to him. All of these things. So this is really key, this first part, which is in verse number 9. So what does that mean, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and how do we get there? So the Greek word for filled is pleroo. So, you know, you have to always at least mention one Greek word, so I'm throwing that in there. and basically, that is the description they gave was, it's basically, if you could picture like a big net and it's completely filled, it's like bursting, it's completely filled up, you know? Or you could picture like a dip, a ravine, and it's completely filled so that it's leveled off. So there's no room for other things. So the more we are filled with this spiritual wisdom, discernment, this understanding, the knowledge of, you know, his will for us, there's less room for many other things. And I think that is where the overflow of all these characteristics come from. So what is his will? Simply put, his will is his wishes and his purposes for us. And the Bible reveals so much about his wishes and his purposes for us. And studying it will transform us. So there's, you know, two huge categories of his wishes and his purposes for us. And the one is, you know, all that's revealed in the Bible, the moral imperatives, the instructions for how to live, the things that are on every page of the Bible, the stories of people, the, you know, the Psalms that point us to worshiping him, the Proverbs that give us wisdom literature. Study the Bible and you will understand his, you'll have the knowledge of his will, what he desires for you. Okay, so that's important. And then the second category is his wishes and purposes specific for each person in specific situations. And we discern that by walking with him, by abiding in him, by being prayerful, by being in a community of believers and people praying and with your friends. Our God's a personal God who cares about you, and he desires that you come to him as a father, a counselor, and as a friend. Jesus said, if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. And I heard a definition of abiding. Keep talking to him and he will keep talking to you. And I would add that as part of that, we really need to take time to listen and to be still so that we can discern that and we can hear that. So we just learned so much from this passage about prayer. Verse 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. And in the first chapter, first verse of Colossians, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. So we know that this was who they're talking about. The we in this is Paul and Timothy. And the thing is, So I think that just reading this, it really conveys such a like a urgency and a commitment to prayer. You know, we have not ceased to pray for you. Together, they keep asking God all of this. So why do you think that they're doing that?
Yeah. You will be into all kinds of error.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and they know the importance and the power of it. You know, he could have just instructed them, be filled with this or whatever, but they're praying it because it's something that we can't muster up. We need the divine intervention of God, and prayers matter. This is a transformational prayer, and praying to God to transform us, it changes us and it changes the world, and it always has and it always will. So they absolutely believed in the power of prayer, and that's why they never quit, and that's why they kept doing it. Yeah, I think it's noteworthy that he's praying for their spiritual walk and its manifestations, not in their circumstances, like not in their material, physical needs. And of course, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. They're important prayers. We should be praying those prayers for people's circumstances and their needs. But I know in my own life, I think I'm more likely to ignore or to forget praying for these spiritual needs that people have and the transformation, and can focus too much on praying about circumstances. So just kind of want to encourage you as you're praying to not forget those things. So I just want to encourage you, don't give up in prayer. Is there someone or something that you've been praying for, or a situation that you've been praying about for a long time? There's a lot of things that are happening that we can't see. When a tree grows big and strong and it's bearing all that fruit eventually, before that all happens, it's growing the roots down, and we don't see that, okay? So just believe that there's a lot happening that we don't see. In Timothy 10:12, the angel of the Lord appeared to Daniel after he had been fasting for 3 weeks and said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." See, you don't give up. So prayer is the frog in this picture. And verse 11, Paul wants that they exhibit all endurance with patience and joy. And I love the Message translation of that. It says, "Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives." So just want to also encourage you to live your life in community with other Christians. You know, Paul was praying with a Christian for the other Christians. And you are absolutely in the right place to do that. And it's so exciting that we have this opportunity to be in small groups, to know each other, and to be praying with and for each other, and for even praying for people that we don't know, praying for missionaries, praying for church leaders, praying for the persecuted. Your prayers are important. They matter. They change the world. And I also just wanted to invite you to maybe consider inviting someone to come out to Tapestry with you, or invite someone to pray with you on a regular basis, because not everybody has what we got to experience here, and it's transformative. So please share. And then I just want to close with something that always makes me laugh. When I was a young wife and mother, you know, this is 25 years ago, the Stormy O'Martian books were really, really popular, that power of a praying wife and the power of a praying mom. And I just will never forget, I had a conversation with my girlfriend, and we were, you know, looking at that power of a praying wife, and she just said, "Oh, wow, you know, I just pray, Lord, help them." And I just laugh. Every time I think of that, it makes me laugh. And guess what? That's a powerful prayer. And God still hears that prayer. And thankfully, our God's working and moving doesn't depend on us getting this prayer right, okay? So he's still doing all the work and stuff. But we can learn so much from Paul's detailed prayer and his specific prayer. So let's try it. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you now, Lord, and just thank you so much for each person that's here, Lord. I pray for each life that's transformed, that's being transformed, and for all the lives that will be transformed, the world that will be transformed because of you with us, Lord. You being our Savior, you walking with us, you doing all of this work in us, Lord. It's just so exciting, Lord. It's the greatest life. It's the greatest way to live. And it's not easy, Lord, but you with us is everything, Lord. So I just want to pray for every single person here, Lord. I pray that each one of us will be filled with the knowledge of your will, In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, Lord, please give us that spiritual wisdom, that discernment, Lord, that you can provide. I pray that each one of us would walk in a manner worthy of you, that our lives would be fully pleasing to you, that we would bear fruit in every good work, that we would increase in the knowledge of you, Lord, that we'd be strengthened by your power and not our power, that we would be people who can endure, patient people, Lord, joyful people and grateful people with vibrant prayer lives, praying for each other and lifting each other up and then testifying to you in it and all that you've done. So thank you so much for this morning, and we just commit all this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.